Welcome to your custom-tailored deep dive. Today, we're diving into the world of public transportation sentiment in sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah, getting out of the spreadsheets and really hearing from commuters themselves.
Exactly. And to guide us, we have some compelling research out of the University of Pretoria.
Right, using big data and AI to understand what people in Kenya, South Africa, and Tanzania are saying about their commutes.
I'm already hooked. So, break it down for us. How can we actually gauge public sentiment from something like Twitter?
It all starts with something called natural language processing, NLP.
Okay, NLP.
Basically, they're training AI to understand the nuances of language, specifically how people express themselves about, in this case, public transit.
So they feed the AI a massive amount of data, tweets, and it learns to recognize positive, negative, or neutral sentiment.
Exactly. But here's the thing. It's not just about translating everything into English.
Oh, of course. We've got multiple languages at play here.
Right. Imagine the challenge of training AI to understand Swahili, isiZulu, Setswana.
Wow, that's impressive. So what kind of picture does this Twitter analysis paint? Any common themes?
Well, each country has its own story, but with some overlaps, too. Let's start with Kenya.
Okay, what's the buzz in Nairobi?
Well, alongside the usual suspects, route, road, traffic.
Yeah, the daily grind vocabulary.
Exactly. We see government and police popping up frequently.
Interesting. Suggesting a link between public transit and perceptions of those in power.
It seems that way. Their daily commute is intertwined with their feelings about governance.
So a smoother commute might equal higher trust in institutions. Makes you wonder.
It's a fascinating connection. Now, hop over to Tanzania with me, and we see a completely different tone.
Oh, less about politics, more about...
Think less activist, more informational. Tanzania's Twitter sphere is all about service promotion, route info.
Almost like a public transport billboard.
Exactly. Same platform, different conversation. Shows how diverse these online spaces are.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got Kenya, Tanzania. What's the South African story?
South Africa is a mix of sharing information and, honestly, venting frustration.
Makes sense. Big country, complex challenges. Anything specific jump out?
Vandalism is a recurring one, pointing to some real infrastructure issues.
Yeah, a stark reminder of the daily struggles.
And then there's this word, Mbalula Fikil.
Mbalula Fikil. It sounds like a mouthful.
It is, but it refers to Fikil Mbalula, the transport minister at the time.
Ah, so they're tweeting directly at the source. Holding you accountable.
It seems so, using the platform to engage directly with those in power.
That's powerful stuff. Okay, so we've got a taste of the sentiment, but this research goes deeper, right? Comparing these tweets with official reports.
Right. Mayoya compares Twitter sentiment to actual safety reports from South Africa's railway safety regulator. And, well, the findings are intriguing.
Well, this is where I lean in. Tell me more about this disconnect.
So the official reports might paint one picture about safety on the rails, but the Twitterverse is telling a different story.
Oh, really? Like, how so?
We see a lot of negative sentiment around rail safety, mentions of vandalism, personal security concerns.
So there's this gap between the official narrative and what people are actually experiencing day to day.
Precisely. And that's where sentiment analysis shines. It gives us this real-time pulse, what's happening on the ground, beyond those official reports, which, let's be honest, can be a little slow.
Like getting the unfiltered direct line. What other hidden gems did they unearth from these tweets?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. Mayoya dug into this fascinating thing called code switching.
Code switching. Sounds techie. Is it like algorithm talk?
Not quite. It's actually a linguistic thing where people switch between languages in a single tweet.
Okay, so like mid-sentence, they'll jump from English to Zulu or...
Exactly. Blending English with isiZulu, Setswana, Swahili, you name it.
Wow. I imagine that's incredibly hard to analyze, even for AI.
It's a high bar for sure, training the AI to not only recognize the languages, but also understand the nuances of switching between them.
So what's the point of doing all that? What does code switching tell us?
It adds another layer of understanding to the sentiment. Like, a simple translation might miss the cultural weight of a phrase.
Give me an example.
Okay, so someone might tweet about a train delay, and they use a specific phrase in isiZulu that carries this whole cultural meaning about, say, inefficiency or frustration. A plain translation just wouldn't cut it.
I see. It's like you lose the soul of what they're saying.
Exactly. By understanding code switching, we get a much richer picture of that lived experience.
Fascinating. It's like cultural sensitivity meets data science.
And that's what makes this research so groundbreaking. It's pushing the boundaries of what we can do with AI and understanding the human experience in all its complexity.
Love that. It's not just about crunching numbers. It's about connecting with those stories, right?
Right.
And hopefully using them to make things better. Speaking of which, are these Twitter insights just interesting tidbits? Or can they actually lead to, like, real change in these transport systems?
Oh, this is far from just an academic exercise. Myoya's research offers really practical, actionable insights.
Okay, so how do we translate tweets into, like, better buses and trains? Give me the concrete stuff.
Well, by tapping into these tweets, authorities can pinpoint the pain points, understand what matters most to people, and then actually target their strategies accordingly.
So it's like a direct feedback loop.
In a way, yes. For example, that prevalence of safety concerns we saw in the South African data.
Right, the vandalism, the feeling of being unsafe.
Exactly. That could directly translate into, say, more security patrols, better lighting at stations, tangible solutions.
Love it. Taking those raw, unfiltered anxieties and turning them into action. What about Kenya, where folks were tweeting about the government? How do we channel that?
Transparency and responsiveness are key there. Maybe by creating open channels for communication, commuters can voice concerns directly and feel heard.
So empowering the people using those systems to have a say in how they're run. Really cool. But I'm thinking, this is just Twitter. What about all the other platforms people use, especially in these countries?
You're hitting on a crucial point, and this leads right into Myoya's provocative thought. Imagine the insights we could gain from a platform like, say, WhatsApp.
Oh, WhatsApp. That's huge everywhere, but especially in these regions. It's like the digital heartbeat.
Absolutely. All those group chats, community forums, direct messages. It's a goldmine of information.
But, and this is a big but, isn't there the issue of privacy? Like, barging into people's personal conversations feels icky.
You're right. Accessing and analyzing WhatsApp data opens up a whole can of ethical worms.
So how do we balance those potential benefits, understanding people better, with the need to protect their privacy?
That is the million-dollar question, and there are no easy answers. It's a conversation researchers, policymakers, tech companies, everyone needs to be a part of.
A delicate dance, for sure. But the potential is huge.
Absolutely. Who knows what we might discover if we can thread that needle responsibly.
It is. It's like peeking into the real-time conversations shaping these communities. It's mind-blowing, really.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? Think about all the other data streams out there just waiting to be analyzed.
Oh, absolutely. And with AI getting more sophisticated by the day, the possibilities are endless.
Endless possibilities. But, and this is crucial, we need to make sure we're using these tools ethically, responsibly.
Couldn't agree more. Transparency, accountability, those have to be our guiding principles, right?
100%. It's not just about analyzing data. It's about empowering people.
Exactly. Involving communities, seeking consent, making sure everyone benefits from these insights. That's how we make real change.
That's the heart of it, using data to bridge that gap between people in power and the communities they serve.
Powerful stuff. This deep dive has been incredible, honestly. I feel like I have a much better grasp on public transport in these countries, but also the potential for good. It's inspiring.
It's been a great conversation. And the power of data to shed light on human experience, it never gets old.
Absolutely. So a huge thank you to Rosina Myoya for this fantastic research. It's groundbreaking stuff.
And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it as insightful as we did.
Until next time, keep those questions coming. And keep exploring.